Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it seems sort of ironic, but the biggest thing that happened with Broadway this past week was on network television. That was NBC's two-hour special called One Night Only, Broadway's Best. It was hosted by Tina Fey. Now, that's legitimate, since Mean Girls was doing well when everything shut down. And the purpose was to raise money for Broadway Cares, to support that huge community, from those on stage to behind it to those leading you to your seats. The show was filled with music. A few brought tears. A chorus line, Rent, Oklahoma's opening number. Oh, what a beautiful song that is. At least three times Tina Fey called Chicago the longest-running show in Broadway history. I thought this was kind of odd. I'm not accusing them of fake news, but I was sure that achievement goes to Phantom of the Opera. And when I Googled the question, Phantom came up with Chicago second. Well, maybe if you add up the number of performances for the various Chicagos over the years. Anyway, much ado about nothing, I suppose. The show also had stars talking about their favorite memories and hopes for the future. When theater works, no one feels alone, said Peter Gallagher, among so many tributes. I'm quite sure you can watch this on NBC.com, though according to the ratings, not many did. In the meantime, I did some streaming during the week, including The Wolves, about a teenage girls' soccer team, which comes from the Philadelphia Theater Company. Now, I don't say this often, but as well performed as it is, The Wolves does, or do, suffer from the Zoom format. There are seven or eight girls in their little squares, and the words come so quickly, you're often trying to figure out who's who and who's talking. And the characters seem to be your basic types, the shy one, the profane one, and so on. Still, we are taken into the world of high school sports with its talk of training bras and concussions and dreams of making the Nationals. Any sports parent can likely relate. Now, one day I will decide which of Broadway's three leading divas I love best, these being Laura Benanti, Kelly O'Hara, and Audra McDonald. Probably a three-way tie. And now all have done solo concerts to benefit a particular venue. This past week was McDonald's turn at City Center, performing on that iconic stage with only one person in the audience. Now, that happened to be Michael Urie, who has had a highly productive pandemic. He's a hilarious actor, and he and McDonald enjoyed some fun exchanges. Nasal swabs have become part of my daily routine, he joked. Audra and I have six Tonys between us. I have none. Well, I bet at least one is in his future. But mostly Audra just sang, starting with the sadly appropriate lyric, In My Solitude. We are privileged to have this generation of women, all three mothers of daughters, incidentally, gracing our stages. Now, I also tuned into the New York Times' latest offstage discussion, this one on the subject of stage to screen. The highlight was listening to the great Viola Davis discuss her role as the lead in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom from Netflix. You can't go timidly into August Wilson's work, she said of this adaptation. Of her character, Davis adds, Ma Rainey went to orgies on Thursday and church on Friday. Well, if they ever hold the Oscars in April, that's their latest delay, she's the likely winner. Another current stage-to-screen adaptation, by the way, is The Prom, which I did watch. Well, this one's already on Netflix. Meryl Streep, James Corden, Nicole Kidman, and Andrew Rannells pull out all the stops, but I don't know. I found myself embarrassed more than moved. It feels dated, but I still have to salute them for all the hearty effort and their obvious affection for those dedicated to the theater. Another production I streamed was The Flying Lovers of Vitebsk. It's spelled V-T-E-B-S-K, about Marc Chagall and his wife, Bella. This was directed by Emma Rice, who gave us the ethereal brief encounter several years back. Well, this one, too, has a lyrical feeling. It was performed on a tiny, tiny stage in England. One chair on the set, maybe a prop or two. There is some lovely music and choreography, but I kept thinking this would be best for high school art students. It's narrated in a rather instructional style by the Chagall character, It seems I'm famous in Germany. They've even named my work something called Expressionism. But there are some nice sentiments. The further from home, the older we grew. Well, that one hits home, wherever yours is. This is a love story between a man and a woman, a man in his homeland that did not love him back, and about anti-Semitism. My hometown had 60 synagogues, he says, and the Nazis pounded them into dust. You can view this one through the end of the week via Bristol Old Vic or just Google the Flying Lovers of Bethel. There's plenty more coming this week. The Christmas Carol I am excited to stream, and there are many, stars Raul Esparza as Scrooge. There will be several showings for a while. Go to either Primary Stages or 59 East 59's sites. On the holiday theme, aren't you lucky out there to be able to grab a bench in the courtyard of the Berkshire Theater Group to watch Truman Capote's Holiday Memories? This is its last week. On a very different but unique and even important note, tonight the Mosaic Theater in Washington and 72 others around the country will be streaming original works about gun violence. The project is called Enough, and some of these short pieces were written by students, which seems sadly appropriate. This Thursday night, there will be a discussion from Lincoln Center about its past production of Tom Stoppard's A Coast of Utopia, with participants including Ethan Hawke, Billy Crudup, and director Jack O'Brien. I cannot wait, as I love that series of plays. And I'm always happy, if slightly intimidated, to hear the words of Stoppard. It's always a good time to remind theater lovers to check out the companies nearest them that likely need support, or those that they've heard of, like Steppenwolf in Chicago or Playwrights Horizons here in New York, to finally see their famous work up close. And be sure to check out sites like Thespey, Theater Mania, Pay to Play, Broadway's Best, and Tomorrow Ticks, among others, for the latest offerings. Finally, with the year of racial reckoning coming to a close, the year, not the reckoning, the theater companies really do seem to be stepping up, not only in the material they are streaming and planning, but on bringing more people of color into their offices. Just in the last few weeks, Manhattan Theater Club named writer, director, actor Ruben Santiago Hudson artistic advisor, and Roundabout has named director Kenny Leon for a similar spot. So it seems that, as Santiago Hudson told me recently, this time the movement feels real and visceral. So Jill, as we head toward Christmas, that may be a gift to many who have, well, waited a long time for it.
Ho, ho, ho. I have a question. You mentioned earlier when you were talking about the NBC that not many people streamed it on NBC.com?
Not streaming it. They didn't watch it on NBC, the network.
Okay.
It was on the network, but the ratings were very poor. On the other hand, you know, they were opposite football. And come on, who do more people in most households want to see, you know, football or somebody singing, you know, a song from Rent? So that didn't surprise me, but God bless them, and I don't know how much money they raise. That's why I assume they'll keep it on
the actual streaming. Right. Okay,
yeah.
Because this is usually the time of year when there was a live Broadway thing, right? A show?
Yes, NBC does. Well, I don't know if it's been Christmas time. They've usually done them in the spring. But yes, NBC gets a lot of credit. Fox started doing them, too, a couple of years back when they would choose a musical, Hairspray or... What was the last one? It's an interesting one. Not Godspell, but I think Jesus Christ Superstar with John Legend. NBC, well, one reason...
No, that was special for Easter. That one was special for Easter.
Yes, it was.
And the other ones are, I mean, because didn't they try to Hairspray? They did some other ones, and I think it was right around holiday time.
Which made sense. The man who used to run NBC Entertainment, Robert Greenblatt, who's not there anymore, was a huge Broadway fan and investor in plays. And he's sort of gone back to that now. So that was one reason why they were on. I wouldn't bet on it in the future.
Huh. All right. I just wonder, because there's still what is becoming increasingly stark. What are we? Week 3000? What's becoming increasingly stark is the difference between live and screen.
Very much so.
No matter what you do, it's just that little space, that little pause, that little everyone's. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there is going to be great interest in that.
Well, you know, the West End in London, they just opened the first one in a theater, Six, S-I-X, you know, which was on its way to Broadway. It was in rehearsals on Broadway as well. They're doing it all around the world, or they were, about Henry VIII's Six Wives. And it's a very minimal production, six women singing and a little troupe of, you know, musicians. And they just opened a few days ago in London, and people went to the theater, you know, in masks and 6 feet apart and all that. So we'll see how long that stays up. They don't know. They're saying any day, because London is becoming a little bit like America at this point, where they're starting to lock up again. So, but they try. They are trying. And there were people who were standing in line and said, hey, we want to support them. And, you know, we feel safe and we feel the theater is safe. So,
well, I mean, a lot of people, in all fairness, a lot of people have survived.
Yeah, of course. Of course. More than that haven't. But yeah. So anyway, no, there does seem to be a hunger, you know, among certain people to get it back. And there certainly is among the community itself. They all say, hey, you know, this is wonderful. I'm happy to be doing this. But it's nothing like saying the word, you know, working with the audience. And the audience, they all say, is the other part of the cast. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other thing that goes with that is when you are taping something that has an audience,
yes,
it has a completely different feeling than if you are just, you know, one performing for the camera. There's just that, because of that component where sorry to use this word, but the connection between the people,
yes,
and the performers, which is feeding off one another. Because
that's actually true. When I saw the Chagall show the other night, I was going to mention this, but I kept thinking, am I hearing something? And there would be applause after certain numbers, not loud applause. And I thought, well, maybe this was recorded in front of a small audience, you know, because you could hear something that could have just been the sound crew, you know, trying to do it to make it feel live. You know, they're doing that with the football games now, that you hear all the sound, but there's nobody in the arenas or the stadiums.
Although so, I was delighted to see a college football game. We are almost out of time. I was delighted to see actual people at a college football game. I think it was Florida LSU. I was shocked. It was great. I was like,
yeah,
my God, they're real humans.
yeah, remember those?
Yeah.
Anyway, remember those? Remember gatherings, as Michael Urie said during the Audra McDonald thing? Oh, remember when we all gathered? Anyway, we will gather again.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.